zeg het kennen per test mishaal of maken de tabas en into benugasto seltano. En maken een needle with tabas a ring. And this ring or needle is tame. And it was found underneath the bottom of a tanner. The tanner does not have a bottom. Instead, it's attached to the ground. The ground is the bottom of the tanner. And this macher is the bottom. This tame was found underneath the ground, right under the interior of the tanner. Nirin avolo yotzim. You can see the macher is the bottom from the interior of the tanner, but it doesn't protrude into the actual tanner. It's underneath the tanner. So now, does the macher is the bottom from the tame the tanner or not? So the Mishnah tells us, in opes habatzer, v'huno gea behem tame. If when you bake the dough and you put the dough on the floor of the tanner, it would touch the macher tabas. The macher tabas, even though it does not protrude into the tanner, but it's so close to the interior of the tanner that if you would put down a dough on the bottom, that it would touch the macher tabas. Then the macher tabas are considered as if it's inside the tanner, and it would be metame the tanner. Be'ezet basek amru, be'basek habenedi. What are the firmness of the basek in which we test to see if it touches the macher tabas? The Mishnah tells us, a basek which has medium firmness, if it would touch the macher tabas, then the macher tabas is as if it was inside the tanner, would be metame the tanner. As a basek which is not so firm, is very liquidy, then it would be more likely that it would touch the macher tabas, even though it does not protrude into the tanner. Since it's liquidy, it would go underneath the tanner in a crack on the bottom. The Mishnah tells us, instead, we test with a basek that has medium firmness. Nimtu b'tvilas hatanor mukat mitpso. If a macher tabas that is tahor is found in the coating of the tanner is coated from the outside with clay, and inside this clay coating a macher or tabas is found. And the tanner is mukat mitpso, meaning to say the tanner is tightly sealed. And the din is any kli charis that is tightly sealed will protect the kelim inside of it from becoming tumit from an outside source of tumah, such as if the tanner is in an oil on mace under the same roof as a mace. The kelim inside the tanner would be tahor. But as we'll see in the next mission of the Rabbanu Gezer, that a clay matzah, a metal clay, would not be protected from a smith seal. And this macher tabas is a metal clay. So the Mishnah tells us, in betame tmeim, then betahar tahar. If the tanner itself is tame, and there's a macher tabas in the outside coating of the tanner, and the tanner is underneath an oil mace, then the macher tabas become tame. Now even though the tanner cannot be metame, the macher tabas, as a tanner is a clay, and a clay can't be metame another kli. But the macher tabas would become tame since it's underneath an oil on mace. Now, even though the tanner is mukaf mitzil, it's tightly covered, but it does not help because the tanner itself is tame. A kli that is tame, even if it's mukaf mitzil, even if it's tightly covered, cannot protect the kelim inside of it from becoming tame, since the kli itself that is trying to protect the macher tabas is tame. But if the tanner is tar, then the macher tabas that is found in the coating of the outside would be tar. And since the tanner is sealed, it's mukat smith, so it would protect the macher tabas from becoming tame for oil on me. Now, even though we'll see in the next Mishnah that a klisha that mukat smith still cannot protect metal kelim inside of it from becoming tame for oil on me, but this case is different. And since the macher tabas was found in the coating outside the tanner, so the macher tabas are protected by that coating. They're bustle to that coating. They're bustle to the kli. So therefore, just like the kli itself, the tanner itself would not become tame in the oil amei since it's mukat mitzil, so to the macher tabas that was found in the outside coating is buckled to the kli and would be protected by the tanner. Nimtu b'megupa gachavit. Mitzidah tmein mekenegat pia tohar. If a macher tabas is found in a lid of a chavit, the chavit is made out of charis. The lid also is made out of charis. And the chavit is mukat mitzil. The lid tightly seals the chavit. And the chavit is underneath an oil amei, it's under the same roof as a mei. If the macher tabas is mitzidah, in the part of the lid which protrudes further out from the chavis, in such a case, the macher tabas is tameh. Even though the chavis is mukat mitzil, will not protect the macher tabas that's in the extension of the lid that extends further out than the chavis, make a negative pia. But if the macher tabas is found in the lid connected the pia, meaning to say, right opposite the interior of the chavis, it's not in the part of the lid which extends further out than the chavis, in such a case, the macher tabas is tar, even though the chavis is underneath an oil amaze, and since the chavis is mukat mitzil, it protects the macher tabas. Even though a chavis is mukat mitzil doesn't normally protect metal kelim, but in this case, since it's found embedded in the lid, it would be buckled to the lid and would be tar. Nirin b'toicha avolo la'avira tahar. If the macher tabas is embedded in the lid of the chavis, but you can see the macher tabas on the inside of the chavis, and there's a gap in the lid, and through that cap, you can see the Machar Tabas that's inside the lid. If the Machar Tabas does not extend out into the interior of the Chavetz, the Machar Tabas is tar. It would be tar even though the Chavetz is underneath the Ha'amez, since the Chavetz is Mukat Smith Psil. So he can be tar for the Tafan, because he's Hashem, tar. If the Machar Tabas is embedded in the lid of the Chavetz, but that part of the lid where the Machar Tabas is embedded, there's a bump there that protrudes into the interior of the Chavetz. So the Machar Tabas actually protrude into the interior of the Chavetz, but it's covered with a layer of tit, with a layer of clay, that is thin, like the Klipa Hashem, like the peel of a Golem. Even so, the Machar Tabas is Tahir, and it would be protected in the Oil Hamez, since the Chavetz is Mukav Tzitzal. Even though the Machar Tabas protrude into the interior of the Chavetz, since it's embedded in the lid and covered with a thin layer of tit, is considered bottled to the lid and is protected by the lid. A barrel that is full of liquids that are tartar, and besides the liquids that are inside the barrel, there's also a meinekes. This is a metal straw to siphon off the liquid with the meinekes. Mukapet mid psu. The chavis is tightly sealed. But nesuna by our mates, and it's in our mates under the same roof as a mate. Beishami Yemir Machavis Amashim Tarim, Umeinekes Tme. Beishami said, the chavis together with the mashim inside of them are tar. They remain tar, even though they're our mates. Since the chavis is mukat mid psu, tightly sealed, that protects the chavis and the mashim inside from becoming tummy from the mace. While the meinekes, the metal rod inside that is used to siphon off the liquid, since it's a metal kli, it is not protected, even though the chavis is mukefet smith still and becomes tummy from the mace. Rubeito oimer af meinekes tahara. Rubeito says the meinekes also is tar. As since the chavis is mukefet smith still and it protects the mashim, so too it protects the meinekes, the kli that's inside the chavis. Says, what's the difference between the meinekes and the mashim? Just like the mashkin is protected with its mitzvah, the meinekes also should be protected with its mitzvah. Chazru Beitel Lahayrois, Kedibre Beishamai, but afterwards Beitel had a change of heart and they decided that Beishamai is correct, that the meinekes becomes tamei in the Ayah Meis, even though the mitzvah protects the mashkin, it does not protect the meinekes. The reason being is that originally Beitel did not understand the tam of Beishamai. They didn't know why Beishamai differentiated between the meinekes or any other metal clay and the mashkin. But after they found out the reason of Beishamai, they decided that the reason of Beishamai was valid. The reason of Beishamai is that a chaver, a non-Hamaretz, assumes that all kelim that belong to an Hamaretz is tummy. His machzik then becheskes tmeim. If he would borrow a kli from an Hamaretz, he would not use it before he dips it in the mikvah. The reason being is that Hamaretz is not an expert in hilchos tuma utara. So therefore, one of his kelim might have become tummy without him realizing it. And since we have to assume that the kelim that belongs to an Hamaretz is tummy, so if an Amaretz has a chavis, even if it's mukat smith itself, it's an oil on mace, it would not protect anything inside of it. The reason being is that a klicher, that is mukat smith itself, only protects the things inside of it if it's tar. But if the kli is tum, it would not protect the things inside of it, even if it's mukat smith itself. So therefore, if an Amaretz has a chavis that's mukat smith itself and an oil on mace, it would not protect anything inside of it. So therefore, the Rabbanan should be geyser that a klicher, even if it's mukat smith itself, would not protect the things inside of it, in order that Amaretz should not think that the things inside his klicheres are tar, as really they're tameh, since we have to assume his kelim are tameh, they do not protect the things inside of it. But the Rabbanan did not make that clear. The Rabbanan were not geyser that a klicheres as mukat mitzil does not protect anything inside of it. The reason being is that if we were telling Amaretz, we assume his kelim are tameh, and therefore his klicheres does not protect the things inside of it, even if it's mukat mitzil, he wouldn't listen to us. If he would not listen to us, if we told him that even though he thinks it's tar, it's really tummy. So therefore, we didn't tell him that. Instead, we told him that a kli chayit, a smukah mitzvah, does not protect a kli matches, a metal kli, that's inside of it. But other things, it would protect. Now, if we tell him that, he would listen to us, because we're not telling him that we assume his kli is tummy. We're telling him that a kli chayit, a smukah mitzvah, does not protect metal kalim. That he's going to listen to. So therefore, that's what the Rabbanan were going to. They said that a klicher that mukat mitzvah does not protect metal kalim. And now that the Rabbanan were going to that a klicher that mukat mitzvah does not protect metal kalim, so now we no longer have a concern that a chaver non-amaretz will borrow a metal kli from an amaretz. And of course, he wouldn't use it without dipping it in the mikvah, since a chaver assumes all kalim that belongs to an amaretz is tamei. And then he'll dip it in the mikvah, but that won't be good enough. As maybe this metal kli was in a klicher that mukat mitzvah in an oil on mace. So therefore, it became Tamei Lameis. You have to wait 7 days before you could use it. Nid Hazaya Gemozai. And only after 7 days would it be tar? And the chaver would not think that it became tummy l'oil on meis. As I'm always would tell him, it did not become tummy l'meis. He would be believed that it didn't become tummy l'meis. Just the chaver would dip it in the mikveh anyway, and maybe it became tummy to a sheret. And I'm always not believed to say it's tar completely. And the chaver would use it. But really, it's still tummy, as it became tummy and oil on meis. And the chaver of the amaris did not protect it, even though it's mukat mitzvah, since the chaver of the amaris is tummy. A kli tummy does not protect the things inside of it, even if it's mukat mitzvah. So now that the rabbanim were guided that a kli chayes of mukat mitzvah does not protect a metal kli, so the amaris will tell the chaver that it's tummy, as he will know that his chaver did not protect the metal kli inside of it. Now, even though the rabbanim were not going to anochon or ma'ashim or kli chayes that they should not be protected by a chaver that mukat mitzvah, though they are on this. Why aren't we afraid that a chaver will borrow from an amaris? Ochon or Mashke or Kli Cheres. The Chaver will think that they're tar, the Amaris will tell that they're tar, and really they were tummy, as they were in our Amaze. And even though they were in a Chavit of Mukat Smith, still they were not protected, since the Chavit of Amaris is considered tummy. The answer is that a Chaver would never borrow Ochon or Mashke or Kli Cheres from Amaris anyway. As Ochon or Mashke or Kli Cheres does not have tar of the mikvah, they cannot be immersed in a mikvah and become tar. So therefore, the Chaver cannot borrow them from Amaris. And everything that belongs to Amaris, we have to assume that they are tummy. And since these things cannot be immersed in a mikvah, so the Chaver will not borrow them at all from an Amaris. So if we tell an Amaris that it's protecting the Chaver and Mukas Mitzvah, we don't have to worry that the Amaris will go ahead and lend them to a Chaver. But a Kli Matzchis is a different story entirely. As a Kli Matzchis, even though we have to assume it's tummy, if it comes from an Amaris, it can be immersed in a mikvah and it will be tar. The Chaver will go ahead and borrow from an Amaris, immerse it in a mikvah, and use it without realizing it, that immersing in the mikvah does not suffice since it became tummy in our amaze. So Rabbanan said that a chavis is mukas mitzil does not protect the kli matzchis. So in such a case that it was in a chavis is mukas mitzil, the Amaris will tell the chaver that it has become tummy in our amaze, and the chaver would not use it without waiting 7 days. So therefore now Beis Hillel understands why Beis Shammai differentiated between a kli matzchis and other things, that a chavis is mukas mitzil does not protect kli matzchis, even though it protects other things that are inside of it. So the Beis Hillel went ahead and decided that Beis Shammai was right, and they changed their psak to the psak of Beis Shammai.